From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Military officials continue to question a 38-year-old Army staff sergeant from Fort Lewis, Washington, who they suspect of killing more than a dozen men, women, and children in rural Afghanistan. NPR's Tom Bowman reports officials say there were no operations in the area at the time, and they do not know a motive.
Officials say the sergeant walked through one or two villages in Kandahar province, walking from house to house in the pre-dawn hours and shooting civilians. Then he returned to his combat outpost and calmly turned himself in. The sergeant was on his first deployment to Afghanistan and had served multiple tours in Iraq. Officials are investigating reports from village elders that more than one soldier was involved. This is the third troubling incident involving U.S. forces in a little more than a month. Officials are still investigating what they say is the mistaken burnings of Qurans by soldiers at Bagram Airfield. And earlier this year, a video surfaced from 2010 showing four Marines urinating on dead Afghans, believed to be insurgents. Tom Bowman, NPR News.
The violence goes on in Syria, with dozens more people reported killed in homes and each side blaming the other. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports from Amman, Jordan, that anti-government activists have posted a video.
The videos in neighborhoods and homes show children who appear to have been killed by blunt objects and older men who were shot in the head. Syrian state media acknowledged some of the deaths, but said they were the work of armed groups. Government forces recently overtook a rebel stronghold in Homs. This most recent killing occurred in neighborhoods where civilians are reported to have fled. Activists say the number of dead is in the dozens, but these numbers are very difficult to verify. Meanwhile, government forces continued their offensive on the northern Syrian region of Idlib, another rebel stronghold. The violence comes as UN envoy Kofi Annan failed to secure a ceasefire after meetings with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Amman.
Despite the Syrian government's assaults on residential neighborhoods and the near destruction of the Baba Amr area, some residents of homes reportedly continue to protest. That is sound from a video a Syrian activist group says was shot in homes of people protesting the killings of civilians. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is calling on Syria's president to act within days on UN and Arab League peace proposals. Ban says Syria's government is subjecting its citizens to disproportionate use of force that he calls shameful. After 4 days of violence, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is condemning in the strongest terms rocket fire from Gaza into southern Israel and is urging all sides there to restore calm. Greece has completed its big bond swap, allowing it to reduce its debt. Wall Street stocks are up this morning. This is NPR. Authorities in Macedonia say more than two dozen people have been arrested in an outbreak of ethnic violence that has injured dozens of people. Officials say there have been days of clashes between gangs from the majority Macedonian and Albanian communities. Every week there are a number of obscure economic reports and events that influence the stock market. Robert Smith and Zoe Chase of NPR's Planet Money team tell us about one with a funny name, the Quadruple Witching Day, which is this Friday.
Okay, Zoe, imagine four witches together at once.
Easy. Glinda.
Aren't you forgetting the ruby slippers?
The wicked one.
There's Samantha from Bewitched. And that woman who ran for Senate from Delaware.
I'm not a witch.
Quadruple witching in the stock market is also four magical things at once. It's the day when four different types of futures contracts expire at the same time. It's super complicated. But just know that a lot of people have to buy and sell stocks on Friday.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Quadruple witching isn't good or bad, but all that buying and selling can make the stock market more volatile on witching day. Zoe Chase.
Robert Smith, NPR News.
Penn State trustees say they fired the late coach Joe Paterno because his failure to follow up on a sexual abuse allegation constituted a failure of leadership. The trustees' report issued today says they made the decision after learning details of Paterno's testimony when charges were filed against Paterno's former assistant, Jerry Sandusky. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.